You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of fake news. If you spend enough time on TikTok, you'll realize that these life hacks don't usually actually work. We live in a generation that declares that my truth is the only truth. And it's harder, it's becoming more difficult to discern what is actually true. Now, when it comes to truth, you need to remember truth. It doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always feel good. But it always brings freedom. Real truth sets people free. The world is full of fake news, but God's word is full of good news. And we're going to look at His word today. Now, while we may not understand fully everything in this life, we can pre-decide to always seek truth. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says it this way, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity." The title of our message today is No More Fake News. So we're in a series called Think Ahead. When you start to pre-decide the decisions that will honor God, when you think ahead, you will begin to live the life and the purpose that God has for you. So I want to start off because I want to bring back Tim Tebow real quick. So if you don't know this story, it's pretty interesting. So way back in 2009, he played in the college national championship. And he wore under his eyes John 3:16. Now, this was pretty controversial in the moment. But that day, 90 million people Google searched John 3:16. That's not even the craziest part. So here's what happened. 3 years later to the date, he's playing in another playoff game, this time in the professional level, and they win the game. And after the game, his publicist comes up to him and says, "Tim, do you realize what just happened?" And Tim's like, "Yeah. We won the playoff game. We're moving forward. He said, no, Tim. Today, you threw for 316 yards. You averaged 31.6 yards per pass, and running the ball, you averaged 3.16 yards running. Now, I'm not making this up. You can verify, you can fact check me on ESPN's website. It's a crazy thing, okay? This is a powerful verse. So let's start there. Let's take a look at John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This is the most famous, one of the most well-known, most quoted verses in the world. Question for you is, who was it said to? Because you read it and it sounds like it's being said to the world. It was actually said to one man, and his name is Nicodemus. And we're going to look at Nicodemus, okay? He was not one of the most famous. He's not one of the most well-known Bible characters. Some of you may have not even heard about him until today. Nicodemus is mentioned three times in the book of John. He's mentioned. And now we don't know for sure all the locations of where these things took place, but some Bible scholars believe that the first time he shows up, it's in a garden. The next time, it's in a temple. And then finally, it's at the cross, at the crucifixion of Jesus. And I believe that when you look at his life, when you see and study what we do know about him, you'll see that he was committed. You could say that he pre-decided to seek truth at all costs. Now, the first time he meets Jesus, it's at this garden, and he sees him. He sees Jesus preaching and sharing the scriptures and teaching and doing miracles. And Nicodemus is committed to finding truth. He doesn't just want it, he needs it. So let's look at John 3:1. It says, "There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee." Now, let's stop real quick right there, because this is important for you to recognize. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a studier of Scripture. He knew the law. But he was also part of a smaller segment of a group called the Sanhedrin. And these were the rulers over the Israelites. In fact, this group started back in Exodus, and they were known as men of truth. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Now, you got to understand, this is scandalous for him to do this. Why did he go to Jesus at dark? We're not quite sure, but you can kind of make the point that he maybe was afraid of being seen with Jesus. The Pharisees didn't love Jesus, they hated him. And so he was taking a risk. And you also know, like, if you're going to do something scandalous, wait till it gets dark, right? So he goes to Jesus at dark, and then he asks him, he tells him, "We know that you're with God. We know that you are from God." And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." Nicodemus comes and asks Jesus about his identity, and Jesus doesn't answer. He tells him, "You got to be born again." Now, you may have heard that phrase before. You got to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is confused. In fact, in verse 9, he actually goes and says again, he says, "How are these things possible?" He's got all this knowledge, but he's missing the spiritual part. And then we get down to verse 16. After Jesus had shown him some more spiritual truths, verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." See, Jesus addresses the question behind the questions. The question Nicodemus was really asking, that he was eager to know, is, "How can I be saved? How can I enter the kingdom of God?" And remember the difference between knowing the truth and believing in truth has eternal implications. There's a difference between just knowing the truth and believing in truth. So seeking, finding, embracing truth impacts your eternity. But let's be honest, it also impacts your life right now, right here on earth. You can say that eternity starts now. So it's imperative that we pre-decide to seek truth at all costs. That first meeting, Nicodemus gets on a journey to find truth. Together, we're going to look at three truths that Nicodemus had to wrestle with. We're going to look at these scriptures. And if you want to live a life of purpose, of meaning, and a freedom, you got to seek truth. It's so important to pre-decide, I will seek truth at all costs. And today, we're going to focus on these three truths that you must discover. So, check it out. The first one is identity. Your identity matters, okay? And here's the question you need to ask yourself. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? When you think about your life, not just who you are right now, but who is that you're becoming? Do you like who you are becoming? Because what you believe determines who you are and who you will become. What you believe currently will determine your identity. Nicodemus again tells Jesus, we know you're from God. We know you're teaching from God. God is with you. So he's wanting to confirm, are you really who you say you are? Are you really the Messiah? And Jesus flips it on him. Jesus looks at him and tells him, no, listen, you must be born again. Nicodemus had to wrestle with his own identity because up to this point, his identity was based on knowledge, on the ability to judge and the ability to tell what's true. His identity was based on what people thought of it. Tradition, culture. But Jesus calls him to more. And there are some of you here today. You're looking at your life, and Jesus is going to call you to more. So tell the truth. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? When you stand there and look and you identify your life, you look at your life, what do you see? You know, it's funny how men look at the mirror. Because for men, if, you know, we kind of look sideways, especially, you know, with these dad bods. Oh, man, you know, we gotta cut down on them dad donuts. But all we got to do as men is we just do this. We just turn straight ahead. And do we like what we see? There's some of us in here that when you look at yourself, you not only like what you see, but you worship what you see. There's pride. There's arrogance. You puff yourself up because of your status, because of how much you've accomplished. You even look at others and think, I'm not like those people. You got to humble yourself. Pride comes before the fall. But most of us, I believe when we look in the mirror, we see things like shame or guilt. We don't like what we see. Now be honest, tell the truth, and you need to know if you want to change what you see, you got to change what you say. Hey, look at me. You're not your mistake. Your past does not define you. You're a child of God. You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. God will take your past and He'll use it for His purpose. Your family loves you. You're loved by God. Be the warrior that God created you to be. Listen, if you want to change what you see, you got to change what you say. Your identity needs to be based on truth. And I'm not talking about your truth. I'm not talking about my truth. I need you to understand, I'm not talking about manifestations or declarations or power statements. Because the truth is, you can write down 1,000 times, I am a millionaire. You can look to the eastern sun and declare, everything I touch turns to success. They may even happen. But you got to know this. Any declaration not based on the truth of God's word will still leave you empty. It'll leave you empty. And these declarations that are made, statements that are created, need to be based on the truth of God's word. If you want to change what you see, you got to change what you say. Do not live any longer under the false identity, under the fake news of who you used to be. Living the truth of God and what He says about you. So, I'm just going to call it like it is. Some of you all look in the mirror and you think you are a loser. Guess what? Fake news. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You might look in the mirror and think you are unlovable. Look, fake news. Because why? Because God, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You might think, God could never use someone like me. Guess what? Fake news. Because He takes the foolish things of the world and He confounds the wise. You might be sitting here today and thinking, God could never use me. You'll never defeat this addiction. Guess what? Fake news. With Christ, all things are possible. You just need to hear it. You need to know the truth. When the devil shouts his lies, you shout back fake news. When the world shuts you out, you dig right in and you declare fake news. When the haters try to just take you down, you get yourself back up and you declare no more fake news. You got to know the truth about who you are. You've got to know the truth about who Jesus says you are. It's important to discover the truth of your identity. And then you've got to discover the truth about your community. Where are you belonging? Who are your friends? What are the groups that you're in? The second time we see Nicodemus, he does something crazy. Remember, he's part of the Jewish rulers, and what's happening is they're plotting Jesus' arrest. In John 7, we see that Jesus had been teaching in the temple, and the religious leaders were planning to arrest him and to kill him. Nicodemus does something crazy. He takes a stand. Look what it says in chapter 7, verse 50. Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. Sometimes you got to speak up for the truth. And he says, is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures and see for yourself. No prophet ever comes from Galilee. Here's what happened. They were planning and plotting the arrest of Jesus. And Nicodemus just asks a question. He points them back to truth. In this moment, you can tell he's realizing these men are not seeking truth. They just want to arrest and kill Jesus. Sometimes you look up and you tell the truth about your community. You got the wrong people in your life. Tell the truth. Do you have the right people in your life? Or are your people negative and toxic, always full of drama, always doing too much? Or maybe they're not bad. Maybe they're just like that emoji, meh, like they're kind of lukewarm or stagnant. They're not bad people, but they're just complacent. There's no drive. There's no iron sharpening iron. They're kind of just, you know, they're just holding you back. Tell the truth. Tell the truth about your community. Tell the truth about the groups that you're in. That Facebook group that spews hatred all the time. It's time to get out. That relationship that you know break up. And you're like, well, I'm going to give him a chance. There's potential there. Break up. It's time. Maybe you need to tell the truth to your spouse about where you really are so that God can begin to restore you. You got to tell the truth. No more fake news about your community. Remember what your mom said. Remember, she said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You are who you hang around with. Proverbs says it this way, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Tell the truth about your community. Get you some good people in your life that will encourage you and push you forward, that will be honest with you and tell you the truth. So, you got to tell the truth about your identity. Tell the truth about your community. And then number three, you got to tell the truth about your eternity. The question here is, what master are you serving? Because here's the truth. We are all serving someone. We're all following something or someone. We're all chasing after someone. Be honest. Tell the truth. Who or what are you following? Are you chasing after money, fame, popularity? You see, what you chase after defines your master. Those are some bars right there. The third and final time we see Nicodemus, it's at the cross. Jesus has been beaten to a bloody pulp. Crown of thorns has been placed on his head. He's been whipped. He's been spat on, humiliated, hung on a cross. And in one final breath, he gives up the spirit and he dies. It's over. Scripture tells us that there was a man who was known as Joseph of Arimathea, and Joseph asked for Jesus' body. This is important Because at that point, the religious leaders were worried that Jesus' body would be stolen. So whoever took the body was a big, big deal. Joseph of Arimathea takes the body, gets permission to take the body, and is about to take it to the tomb. And look what happens. John 19:39, it says, "With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. This was used to embalm the body." Some versions actually say that it was closer to 100 pounds. He brings this with him. Now, I don't know about you, but in that moment, that would have been the wrong time for him to declare himself as a Jesus follower. Jesus was dead. It's over. But what does Nicodemus do? He brings his wealth, 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes. The average amount for a normal funeral was about 5 pounds. He brought 75 pounds. You know what this means? Some people believed that it was worth about $250,000, and he brought his wealth. This amount was reserved for royalty. This would have been considered a king's burial. Scholars believe that this was the moment that Nicodemus publicly declared, "Jesus is my king." He comes and brings everything. He found truth. See, all his life, Nicodemus had pre-decided to seek truth at all costs, and it almost cost him everything. You look back and you think about it. He pre-decided to seek truth, and he meets Jesus for the first time, tries to confirm, "Are you the Messiah?" And then he's just confused. He's like, Jesus tells him all these things about being born of the Spirit. He doesn't get it. And so he wrestles with his identity. Then he stands up in front of his peers, in front of the people that he grew up with, that were following Scripture. And he declares, hey, he stands up for Jesus. So he wrestles with his community. And then finally, he gets to this place where he has to wrestle with his eternity. He pre-decided to seek truth at all costs, and it cost him a lot, perhaps all he had, but he found truth, and he realized that truth was never a place to arrive. It wasn't a thing to possess, but it was a person to believe in. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but I can envision, as Nicodemus brought everything, I can envision him saying something like, "For God so loved me that he gave his only son. And because I believe in him, I will not perish, but have eternal life." The world thought, the devil believed, we won. Jesus is dead. Guess what? Fake news. Because 3 days later, the tomb was empty. There was nobody in the grave. Jesus was alive. And to this day, that is still the truth. And John 8:32 says this, "And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let us pray. God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for freedom, God, that comes through your son. God, we pray right now as we take a step towards you, Lord, to commit, to pre-decide, to seek truth. Would you show us the truth, God? We would be able to find your identity in you, to find the right community, God. Show us your truth, and we trust that your truth will set us free. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.